heard about a pilot that had a plane full of passengers and they were headed to their destination when suddenly the rudder malfunctioned. So the pilot radioed the control tower in panic and shouted, "The rudder is malfunctioned. What should I do?" The air traffic controller was very calm. He radioed back, "Now keep calm, Captain," he said. "Just repeat after me. Wings flap, check. Velocity, check. Altitude, check." Okay, make those adjustments. The pilot did. Plane evened itself out. Okay, it's good. 5 minutes later go by and the starboard engine goes out. The pilot calls back to the tower. "The starboard engine went out. What do I do now?" "Now, Captain," the air controller said, "keep calm. Say this out loud after me. Wings flap, check. Velocity, check. Altitude, check." And so the pilot made the adjustments and the plane was okay. And then the pilot calls back shouting, "Mayday, mayday, both of the engines have gone out on the plane. What should I do?" The air traffic controller said, "No, Captain, calm down. Repeat these words after me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." The Lord's Prayer, the most well-known prayer anywhere, and justly so. I think we sometimes think of the Lord's Prayer as the one that we use in case of emergency, sort of like the axe behind the glass, in case of emergency. Oh, this is bad. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. In fact, that's exactly the prayer that was prayed by Todd Beamer. You remember back on 9/11, as our country was under attack, the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center collapsed in a heap of rubble. The Pentagon was hit. And there was a flight 93. One of the passengers was Todd Beamer. He knew something was up, but he wasn't quite sure what. So he called the operator on one of those little phones, those air phones. And the operator confirmed, "Yes, your plane has been hijacked by terrorists." And then Todd, who was a Christian, was talking to her. And the operator said, "Could we pray together?" He said, "Yes." And they prayed this prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so after they were done praying, Todd turned to the other men who were going to help him storm the cockpit. And he said these words, "Let's roll." And they went in, they overcame the terrorists in the cockpit. And tragically, the plane crashed. But the fact is, they probably saved thousands of lives. Because who knows who that target was for those terrorists? Could have been the White House, could have been the Capitol. But to the Lord's Prayer, it's not just a prayer to pray, though it's fine to pray and a good one to pray, but it is also a template for all prayer. It was given in response to the request of the disciples when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So he said, "After this manner, therefore, you should pray, our Father who art in heaven." So it's not just a prayer to pray, it's a template for prayer, I should say. Sort of here's how you go about prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is listening to and communicating with God. There are different kinds of prayer mentioned in the Bible. That brings us to our first text, Ephesians 6:18, where Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Now, in that one verse, Paul says a lot about prayer. First of all, he mentions all prayer. Now, we use the word prayer a lot, but there's a lot of ways to pray. You can pray publicly. You can pray privately. You can pray verbally. You can pray silently. You can pray kneeling, standing, sitting, lying down. You can even pray driving. Just keep your eyes open. And speaking of that, you can pray with your eyes closed and with your eyes open. You know, sometimes we think you always have to close your eyes in prayer. Not necessarily. We have instances in Scripture, even Jesus lifting up his eyes to heaven and praying a prayer. So it depends. But, you know, we have grandchildren, four girls and one boy. And so we have been teaching them to pray. And we'll sit down and have a meal and we'll say, "Okay, let's pray." And they'll fold their little hands and close their eyes. And so we were praying for our food the other day. And I opened my eyes for a moment. And one of my granddaughters, Stella, was eating a French fry with her eyes closed. Like, Like, it's okay if my eyes are closed. It's pretty cute. The main thing is just pray. You can pray in any position, at any time, anywhere. Sometimes we may think, oh, God won't hear my prayer unless I'm in a church, as though God really listens when we're in church. Well, he will listen in church. But you can pray anywhere. I mean, Daniel prayed in a lion's den. David prayed in a field. Peter prayed on and under the water. Jonah's prayer was heard in heaven as he called on God from the belly of a whale or a fish, and God will hear your prayer wherever you are. And actually, it's interesting because this phrase, praying always, the word always or all, speaks of the frequency of prayer. It means like pray a lot. You know, just pray. I mean, you might have a time of prayer where you get down on your knees and pray and close your eyes. You might be driving and you pray about something. You might be heading into a meeting and just, Lord, I'm going to pray about this. Praying always. That's the idea. Pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening. In fact, the story is told in Scripture about a man that prayed when it was illegal. What would you do if prayer was suddenly made illegal? What would you do if prayer was suddenly made illegal? Don't think it couldn't happen, even in America. Anything's possible. Happened to Daniel in Babylon. He was one of the king's advisors. The other advisors resented Daniel because of his influence. And so they decided they want to bring him down. But the problem was for them, Daniel had no skeletons in his closet. So they reasoned, we're not going to find anything wrong with him unless we find it concerning him and his God. And they knew that Daniel had a great habit. He prayed every day, morning, afternoon, and evening with his windows open. So they said, let's get the king to sign a decree that no one can call on any God but him. Well, the decree was signed. Prayer is illegal unless it's offered to the king. So what did Daniel do? Well, what would you do? I'll tell you what Daniel did. He went to his house. He opened up all of his windows. He got down on his knees and he prayed. We read Daniel 6:10. When Daniel learned the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. And he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done. Listen to this, giving thanks to the Lord. I think it's great when Christians pray publicly. Just do it the right way. I was in a restaurant not too long ago, and a very fine-looking family sat down, a bunch of sons and daughters, and they had a big table, and their meal came, and they all bowed their heads and prayed. I love that. In fact, I went up to them afterwards and said, man, I love the fact that you guys all prayed together. And so that was a fantastic testimony. But sometimes, you know, Christians get weird about this in public places. You know, they'll pray really long prayers or really loud prayers. You know, Lord, we call upon your name now. People are looking, what's going on? What's going on? Here's a little rule of thumb to keep in mind. Your prayers in public should be short and your prayers in private should be long. That's how it is in the Bible. In private, pray long. But in public, pray short. Here's your objective when the food comes. Give thanks for the food. Ask God to bless the food, eat the food while it's still warm. Otherwise, we have Stella with her eyes closed eating the French fry, right? But notice also one other thing about Daniel's prayer. He didn't say, God help me, I'm in trouble, get me out of this mess. No, we read that he gave thanks to God. It's important to remember that when you pray, God is on the throne and God is in control. We call this the sovereignty of God. Scripture says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercies endure forever. So we remind ourselves that our sovereign, powerful, good God is in control. So no matter what, we give thanks when we are to pray. So we need to pray. But why? Number one, we should pray because Jesus told us to. That's point number one. If you're taking notes, write it down. Why should I pray? I should pray because Jesus told me to. He told us over there in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Honestly, you don't need any more reasons. Well, why should I pray? Jesus told you to pray, so go do that. But yet, at the same time, he gave us an example. Here was Jesus, who was fully God, yet he was fully man, and he took time to pray often spending the evening in prayer. while the others were sleeping. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see our Lord praying to the Father, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." When he hung on the cross, Jesus gave his first words, which were, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And then we hear him later say from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, we read in John 11:41, "Father," looking up to heaven, he said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. And I say it out loud for the sake of those who are standing here, that they'll believe you sent me." And then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come forth." When Jesus fed the 5,000, the only miracle I might add that's in all four Gospels, we read that he looked up toward heaven and asked God's blessing on the food. Mothers brought their children to Jesus. Why? Because they wanted him, according to Matthew 19:13, to lay his hands on them and pray for them. Now, if this was what Jesus did, certainly we ought to do the same. We should pray because Jesus told us to. Number two, we should pray because prayer is God's appointed way of obtaining things. Prayer is God's appointed way of obtaining things. Now, that's not the only reason we pray, but it is one of the reasons, and there's nothing wrong with bringing your needs and your requests before God. Here's something to think about. There may be things in your life that you don't have because you have simply not asked your Father. You know, you might say, "Why am I sick? I want to get over this illness. I've been to doctors." The Bible says you have not because you asked not. Could it be that God wants to heal you and you have simply not asked? Hey, why is it that I never know the will of God for my life? Hey, have you prayed about it? You have not because you asked not. Hey, why do I never lead people to Christ? I never have those opportunities. Have you prayed about that? You have not because you asked not. I got into a cab recently and he was driving me to the airport. And so I got in, I sat down, I looked at this guy, and I said, "Now, Lord, if you want me to share the gospel with him, just open a door." Just left it at that. I didn't force a door, just prayed that prayer. So we're driving along, and this guy, his name is Tom, we're talking, and we're on a road where a bicyclist had been killed. And they set up what they call ghost bikes. You ever seen those? They're painted white sometimes. It's to represent someone was killed here. It's very sad. And I said, "Oh, man, why do people, you know, get hit on this particular road so often?" And we talked about that. And then he said, "You know, I had a friend who was riding on this road, and he was hit. And the person who hit him just drove off." I said, "Oh, that's horrible." And he says, "Yeah." And I said, "Tom, what do you think happens after we die?" And he kind of laughed nervously. "Well, I believe you come back in another life form. I believe, you know, depending on how you've lived, you will come back again." I said, "Huh." He said, "Well, what do you think?" That's that open door I was praying for. I said, "Well, Tom, I believe when you die, you live on. And I believe if you put your faith in God, you will go to heaven. And one day heaven will come to earth. And I believe God will give us a new body because these old bodies are wearing out." And he said, "You know what? I like your version of the afterlife better than mine." I said, "Well, Tom, it's not my version. It's Jesus' version. This is what he says." And then I recited John 14 to him. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. In my Father's house are many mansions." You know the verses. And then I said, and then a guy named Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know the way." And then Tom, the cab driver, said, "Well, that's my name." I said, "It is, isn't it?" And he said, "My wife always says I'm a doubting Thomas." And I said, "You know, Tom, I like to think of Thomas in the Bible not as a doubter, but more as a skeptic. Maybe you're just a skeptic, Tom." He goes, "Yeah, maybe I am." I said, "You know, Tom, so we the cab drive, the ride was over. And so I got out and I just shared a few things that it, you know, I got as far as I could go, planted some seeds, but you pray for things like this. You look for these opportunities, pray about it, but it is God's appointed way of obtaining things. Now, let me say this. I don't believe if you pray about it, you'll always be healed because sometimes you won't. I don't believe that if you pray about it, you'll always have all the money you may want in a given situation. There might be reasons that God may say no, but at least cover that base and bring it to the Father. Number three, don't want to miss this one because it's a good one. Prayer is the way by which we overcome our anxiety and worry. Again, prayer is the way by which we overcome our anxiety and worry. Life is full of troubles, isn't it? And our country's facing a lot of trouble right now. This war on terrorism is far from over. It never was over to the point. And now we have this Islamic terrorist army taking ground called ISIS or ISIL. And they're a formidable threat. So that's on the radar screen. We still have Iran wanting to get that nuclear weapon, and they just may get it unless something happens. And then we have North Korea still trying to develop their nuclear weapon, and now we have Ebola. And we were told Ebola would never happen in the United States, and now it's happened more than once. And we're saying, what's going on? Life's full of trouble. A lot of things to worry about, right? Then you have your own troubles. You have your family troubles. You have your health issues. You have your financial problems. You have the issues with your kids or whatever it is. So what do? Prayer is the way by which God helps us overcome our anxiety and worry. It's been said, if your knees are shaking, kneel on them. Paul gives us these words, very familiar, Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Turn your worries into prayers. So here's how it works. Next time you're hit with worry, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? Okay, that just became a prayer. Lord, I'm kind of scared about this right now, and I just offer that to you. Help me. Lord, I need wisdom on this. Direct me. Lord, I need your protection on this. Protect me. Turn your worries into prayers. Point number four, prayer is one of the ways we make ourselves ready for the return of Christ. Prayer is one of the ways we make ourselves ready for the return of Christ. Luke 21:34, Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day, speaking of the day of the Lord, comes upon you unexpectedly. Watch therefore, listen, and pray always. So we need to be in prayer. Speaking of his imminent coming, Christ said in Mark 13, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you don't know when the hour is. So we should be praying. But what about those times, we ask, when I pray for something and God doesn't answer? You know, I don't think God answers my prayers. Oh, wait. You prayed for something and God didn't answer. Yeah, I prayed about it and I didn't get it, so God didn't answer. No, he answered. You just didn't like the answer. The answer was no. But that's an answer, is it not? Listen to this. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says slow. Sometimes God says grow. And sometimes God says go. If the timing is right and the request is right and you are right, God will say to you, go. But when he says no, it's for your own good. Think about this for a moment. Can you look back in your life and think of things you asked God to give you and he said no to? And now, in retrospect, you say, thank you, Lord, for saying no. Can you? Probably shouldn't use this illustration, but I will. I met this girl once. I was a Christian, very young still, probably 18. And I said, Lord, this is the one. This is the girl for me. This is the one I should marry. I'm sure of it. Show her that, Lord. Apparently, she didn't get the message. She wanted nothing to do with me. And then a little bit later, I met Kathy, my wife, who I've been married to for 40 years, who I love with all my heart. Now, so fast forward 40 years, and I'm with my wife, who's beautiful, and I ran into this girl. I looked at her. Nice to see you again. Looked at my wife. Looked at her. And I said, God, thank you for... But we wonder, is there something we can do to cause our prayers be answered more often in the affirmative? Is there a secret to answered prayer?
Listen, the most important decision that you will ever make is the decision about Jesus Christ. That is a choice that is before you right now. Listen to this. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You know, when I heard that as a 17-year-old kid, I looked around at other people at this little meeting I went to, this little Bible study where a preacher said that, and I thought to myself, these other Christians listening to this, they're definitely for him. And then I thought, well, I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against him? Well, actually, I was. You can't be neutral about Jesus. This is a yes or no proposition. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. Then he voluntarily went to the cross and died in our place. Why did he do that? Because we're all sinners and we have all fallen short of God's glory and we have all broken God's commandments. But the good news is Christ died for our sins. He absorbed God's wrath. He paid the price for the wrongs we've done and he rose again from the dead. And he's standing right now at the door of your life and he is knocking. And he is saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. And you might be thinking, well, how do you open the door of your heart? You do it through prayer. And I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer where you would be asking God to forgive you, where you would be asking Jesus to come into your life. It's the most important choice you will ever make. And if you would like to choose Jesus Christ right now, if you would like to be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven when you die, why don't you just pray this prayer out loud even after me? Right now, just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you died on that cross for me because you love me. And then you rose again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it now. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. And be my God and my friend. I choose to follow you, Lord, from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Hey, listen, if you just prayed that prayer and meant it in your heart, Christ himself has come to live inside of you. You have made the right choice. Your choices on earth are binding in eternity. And because of that choice, if you now follow Jesus Christ, you can have the hope of one day seeing him in heaven. Thanks for tuning into our program. And until next time, God bless you.